Come back up, Lisa.
Yeah.
Thank you, Melanie.
Good morning. Welcome all to Jenkins Church. If you would, everybody come on in and have a seat, we'll get started. As you, I'm sure you could tell, because you had to come in the sanctuary by a little different means this morning. We're under construction, and we're going to need to pray some more about that and the direction that we're going, and that everything goes smoothly. And I'm sure we'll have to venture this way into the sanctuary for a little while until everything gets finished, but we'll adapt and overcome.
We didn't intend for this door to be taken out, but when they moved the wall, it somehow it got the threshold, so that did it. But that's not an insurmountable obstacle, is it? We have already... So this wall here enables some in here, or those who are real brave can come over the dust. Might have a floor next week. We don't know when the floor will be put in.
I'd like to welcome you all to Jenkins Church this morning. It is holiday weekend. I'm glad everyone is here and made the effort to come. What we're going to do right now is recognize any first-time visitors. Do we have anyone here this morning for the first time in the section to my left? Any first-time visitors here this morning? We've got some in the middle here. If you'd introduce yourselves, please.
My name is Jerry McAdams.
Well, welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. Any other first-time visitors in the middle section? Anyone else? All right. Any first-time visitors in the section to my right? Anybody here for the first time this morning? All right. Well, to the McAdams, we welcome you this morning. We're glad you're here. And if you would register your attendance, the pads are being passed out. If you would put down all your vital statistics there and pass that to your neighbor in the pew. And we'll make sure we get all of our attendance counted. At this time, we're going to go to our announcements. There's still many things taking place, activities in the church. Do we have any announcements that we need to have brought to our attention this morning? Anything, additions, things like that?
First service, 8 o'clock. Three public professions of faith. So they had made private professions of faith before then. Harvey Naren, Michael Naren, and Harvey's daughter, Nikki Naren. And we administered the sacrament of baptism. And they became members of the church. And that's a big step in everybody's life. as I said, probably the most important day in their life, even more important than their physical birth. Their physical birth is temporary. A spiritual birth and is eternal. So I just wanted to pass that on to you, share that with you, and ask you to pray for Harvey and Michael and Nikki, and then pray for the whole family. And as we talk about weeds and wheat this morning, they will need a lot of encouragement and a lot of spiritual nourishment. And so we need to lift them up and need to encourage them and be encouraging and helpful to them as new Christians, infant Christians. And so we rejoice with that experience and are happy to share it with you. The General Assembly of the Cumberland Presbyterian Church met in Franklin this week. We were the host church. I was the pastor host. And then Monday night we hosted the moderator's reception. We were prepared for a large number. We prepared for more than came. And that was a thing you never know. But we received all kind of pats on the back and words of encouragement. You people who worked Monday night, thank you so much. That was Nancy headed it up, but the rest of you joined in and you did so great and made yourselves proud, me proud, I think God proud, and we just had a good time together. The rest of the week, we were at the table, the host table, and people were there every time. And I think it was John and James Sharpton were scheduled for Friday morning if needed. Well, John and James, they knew where to go to find the bathroom by Friday morning, and so we didn't call you. John is out in the vestibule. I didn't even call. I said, I'm not going to wake them up at 10 o'clock at night to tell them to be there on Friday morning, because most everybody had gone home, all but the delegates, but they were available, but every other time people were there. Sunday night we got there and people said, would you sell these tickets? Would you sell these tickets? And it was two families jumped right in there, the Bells and the Alamores, and they adjusted and began to sell tickets. Then Larry and Andrea Monday morning. You six people had the busiest time probably. And we finally got enough tickets sold for the luncheon, or got them distributed back to the people who were responsible from the organization. And we had a great week together. Wednesday night, some of you may have attended Wednesday night, was probably the high point. And we think we've got a video forthcoming on that. It was a multicultural worship service with people from Sudan, from Korea, from Liberia, and from the United States, and from Miami, and a great experience there. So just wanted to pass that information on to you and say you did wonderful. And assembly is over for another year, and hopefully we'll be able to fulfill the obligations that we committed to as a General Assembly. But our church, we have nothing to be ashamed of in regard to being good hosts. Thank you so much.
Are there any other announcements this morning we need to have brought to our attention? Anything else? Yes. So no CPW this month. All right. Anything else? Any other announcements? Okay, if not, I would ask you to read up on those events and activities that are going on in the church. Keep yourself aware of what's going on. At this time, we're going to go to our prayer list. Are there prayer concerns this morning? Anyone we need to add? Any updates? Anyone we need to take off? Family of Bill Hayes. Okay, so the family of Bill Hayes. All right. Any other prayer concerns this morning? Anyone else that needs to be raised in prayer?
My great niece, Samantha Britton, and also Keith Martin's mother, Mary Martin,
Anyone else this morning? Any other prayer concerns? Okay, if you would, for those that brought these forward, when we pass the offering plate, if you'll take a little note card in front of you and write down their names so we get the correct spellings. And then I'll ask if you would please pray for these as often as you possibly can, because miracles do happen because of that. Right now, we're going to prepare ourselves for a moment of silence as we prepare ourselves for worship. If you would bow your heads and join me, please. Amen. Call to worship this morning is printed in the left-hand side of your bulletin. It is responsive if you would join along with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all my benefits.
The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, and of great kindness.
For as the heavens are high above the earth,
so is God's mercy great upon those who fear Him.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You all please stand and join us in singing In My Heart There Rings a Melody, number 514. We'll sing the first and the last verse.
Bow your heads and join with me in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning being thankful that You are a merciful God, that You are of much compassion and great mercy, and that You have extended that mercy to Your people. Thank You, Lord, that someone told us about it and we could believe in it. Thank You for Your Spirit that enabled us to believe. Lord God, as we assemble in Your name this morning, we thank You for a time away from the world. Lord, that we could come and meet in Your presence and be prepared to go back into the world. But Lord, we need this time of quietness, this time of reflection, this time of worship when we stand before You. Thank You. Lord, as we have come together, we pray for You to speak as we need to be spoken to today. And Father, You speak in many ways and we thank you. And now, Lord, we come offering up the prayer that your Son and our Savior taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
Please turn to number 79, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee.
Time for our statement of faith. It is the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal, or it's on the wall if you'd follow me in unison. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
please turn to 572. We're going to sing America the Beautiful. We'll sing all four verses. And we've got a plan if it doesn't. We're not sure the tape works. Shane is going to sing a special for us, but we're not sure that we're going to be able to get it to work. Pete's going to try to help us. And it's going to be great.
We've been ridiculed by those we don't know him. We've been mocked by those who don't believe. Still I'm not standing up for my Jesus, and all he's done for me. That's why I am not ashamed.
It is children's time right now. If the boys and girls want to come on down with Miss Andrea. And remember, it's Communion Sunday, so there is no children's church if you'll stay here with your parents in the sanctuary.
Jesus, come on, Jesus.
And now for the presentation of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our offertory sentence this morning is taken from the 14th chapter of Romans, verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. If the ushers would please come forward.
Jamie and Teresa, Diane, Pete and Julie, please, Charlie, John, Villavan. remembering the Lord's death. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. He wrote them specifically to the Christians in Corinth concerning remembering the body and blood of Jesus. Their words to you and I also. Paul writes, "I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Those words, an invitation to proclaim the Lord's death. I invite you, all who believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to eat with us and to drink with us. It is a proclamation. You're telling yourself again, "Yes, I believe." You're telling those around you, "Yes, I'm a disciple of Jesus." You're proclaiming as you remember his great sacrifice for you. As we read, Jesus took the bread. When he had broken it, he prayed. "Lord God, thank you. Thank you for bread that represents your body. And Lord, we pray right now that you would just bless this bread. That truly it would be for us your body broken. Let this be such a loud reminder that we cannot fail to grasp the message, how much you love us, and the great lengths you went to in Jesus to redeem us." Amen. His body broken for you. Took the cup, and he had blessed it. He offered it to the disciples gathered with him. "Lord God, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus, that you were willing to sacrifice your Son, that he was willing to sacrifice himself for us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you." The blood of Christ shed for you. Elders, as you have received, so give to those who await you. Bless you. Thank you, O Lord, for your sacrifice for us. In Jesus' name.
Our scripture this morning is printed in your bulletin, or you can follow along in your Bibles. It is from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. Let us hear God's word. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters first to collect the weeds and tie them into bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Now from Matthew chapter 13, verse 36 through 43. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God. I have committed myself to be in Franklin at the Cumberland Presbyterian Church to ordain an elder about 12 o'clock. So after this service, if you need to see me, I probably will be on my way to Franklin. So check with me later. So if you're missing me and wonder what happened to me, I'm going to scoot out and go as soon as we pronounce the benediction. So I thought I would tell you that early on. I'm not running from anything, but running to something. That scripture, quite a scripture. It's a kingdom parable. A parable about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And as you read the scriptures, you find references both to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like, or many other places you'll find the phrase kingdom of God. A parable. Jesus' way of revealing to us what the kingdom is like. I think it was 2 weeks ago we finished a parable. We had started it 4 weeks ago. So I think in June, the first Sunday we had the parable of the sower. The third Sunday we had the explanation of the parable of the sower. Between there was a children's Sunday and then a guest speaker last Sunday. And then this day, the first Sunday of July, we look at the parable of the weeds and wheat. The question we might ask ourselves, are we weed or are we wheat? Some versions refer to it as corn. Also, some versions doesn't use the word weed, uses the phrase tares. You will remember that often, I trust that you will, Jesus taught in parables. And Andrea came this morning to teach us in parables. A story. A parable. What is a parable? A simple story. Story from everyday life. In many cases, and in Jesus' case it was, the story of the devil coming to the door. Well, he does. That's from everyday life, isn't it? A simple story that people can relate to that teaches a divine truth. Truth about God and about people's relationship to God or God's relationship with His people. In this parable, the parable of the tares, or the parable of the weeds, or the parable of the wheat, we find a number of characters. Some people and some inanimate objects, as we would call them, I guess. I guess we could call them characters also. There is the man who sowed the seed, and that represents Jesus, the good seed, the Son of Man. The man who sowed the seed, or Jesus who sowed the good seed. And then there is the enemy who comes and sows bad seed, representing the devil. That was the very same parable, the very same characters that were in Andrea's parable for the children this morning. So we didn't plan this, but how often does it happen, Andrea? There are the plants. The plants from the good seed. The good seed is sown, and good plants grow up from them. And then there are the plants from the bad seed. The plants from the good seed, the plants from the bad seed. And then we find that Jesus explained the parable in verse 36 through 43. Verse 36 through 43. I leaned on William Barclay this week. William Barclay gave 5 points, or 5 lessons that we might find in this passage. I find at least 5 because he listed them. I believe there may be more lessons than this, but you know, he had just a little bit of space in his daily Bible study series, and so he gave us 5. But you might find many, many more than 5. Join me this morning as we look at the 5 lessons that William Barclay points out to us that we can find in here. Very, very good, I think. A very great understanding of this passage of Scripture. Lesson 1. There is always a hostile power in the world. That devil is always present. He started being present. We first see him, Genesis, Adam and Eve, 3rd chapter. He came through the serpent to entice Eve. He was there with Jesus in the 4th chapter of Luke, right after Jesus was baptized. He came to tempt Jesus. So he was there with the first Adam. He was there with the second Adam, Jesus. And he is present with us. Every day, are you not faced with him? The influence of evil. In receiving the members this morning, the question was asked, will you strive to overcome the temptations of life? It's not God who tempts us. It's Satan who tempts us away from God. There is always the evil power. He is ever present, the hostile power, hostile to God and His Word. Both the good influence of life and the bad influence work on our lives. both the influence that helps the seed of the Word to grow and to flourish, but there is also the influence which seeks to destroy the good seed, the good life. Why it's like that, I don't know. But that's the way it is. That's the way it's been since the beginning of the history of mankind. And we still have to deal with it today. Someone described it, and maybe this fits here, another little parable, as that in every person there lives a good dog and a bad dog. The other day I found this story again, and it was attributed to some old Indian, an American Indian, who didn't use dog but used wolf. And he was telling his descendant, the older man was telling the young man, that in every human there lives a good wolf and a bad wolf. The good wolf promotes love. Well, you find them in you find them in Galatians chapter 5 in the best summary of these characteristics. Let's look at the bad one first. The bad wolf promotes immorality and impurity and sensuality and idolatry and sorcery and enmities and strife and jealousy and outbursts of anger and disputes and dissensions and factions and envying and drunkenness and carousing and things like these. So there's one influence in our life that's pulling us away from good or enticing us to do these type of things, to act in this way. But there's the other influence in our life, the good wolf or the good dog. But the fruit of the Spirit are produced by that influence in producing us love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And in each of Paul's letters, or in most of his letters, he has such a list. The list of the bad characteristics of a human being and a list of the good characteristics of a human being. And I think, some months ago, we printed a bunch of those passages out and shared them with you as a take-home study guide. And that good influence in us, that bad influence, that good dog and that bad dog. So the young man asks the old man, which one wins? And the old man said, the one that you feed. The other one starves to death, right? The one that you feed. If you feed the good influences in your life, they will grow. They will win. If you feed the bad influences, they will win. Within you, is there a good dog and a bad dog, or a good wolf and a bad wolf? Which one is winning? And there are some days you have to fight to keep that bad dog down, do you not? Because people irritate you just because, I don't know why, just because. But they do. And dogs irritate you. This morning, those little dogs next door, they wanted to greet me so early. And I said to them, you need to go back home. And do you know, one came down and sniffed around and turned, and the other one followed, and they went back home so gentle. They're kind dogs. But I didn't know if there's going to be bad dogs outside of my life. But there are those dogs inside. Number two, lesson number one, there's evil influence to entice us away, to hinder our growth, to snuff us out if they can. But number two, it's hard to tell the difference between those in the kingdom and those who are not. Looking at people, can you tell the difference in Christians? We've preached for years and years and years, a Christian is supposed to be different. act different, look different. Now, some of the Pentecostals look different because they got the beehive hairdo. But they've about quit that now. The Mennonites, they wear longer dresses, and the men grow beards if they're really Amish. But they, you can tell them by looking. But on the average, if you walk down the street in Nashville or Nolensville, can you look at people and tell the difference in a Christian and a non-Christian? Even hear them talk. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can. Because they have a different language sometimes. Some Christians forget and they let that old language get back in. Okay. But it's hard to tell the difference between those who are in the kingdom and those who are not. Appearances are often deceiving. Good sometimes appears to be bad, and bad sometimes appears good. And we need to know all of the facts. Carol's grandfather told about going to court, and he liked to go to court for entertainment in the wintertime up in North Arkansas. Farmer, nothing to do in the wintertime, too cold to plow, etc., 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 so they go to court. And he sat by this young man while the prosecution was presenting their case, and he said, "What do you think about it?" And the young man said, "He's guilty." And that afternoon they went back to the court and they heard the defense. And so Carol's granddaddy asked the young man, "Now what do you think about it?" He says, "You know, I don't know." You've got to hear all the facts, both sides of the fact. We need to know them all. And that's, you know, as we look out and we see, that's an evil man. We need to get rid of him. Well, he may just be the good. He may be a child of God with the bad dog winning that day. Number three, we must not be too quick in our judgment. Judgment must wait until the harvest. Now, sometimes we like to go out and judge and knock down and drag out and fix everything ourselves. But wait on the judgment, because we could be judging the wrong people. Judges. Judgment comes finally. But in this parable, Jesus' parable, remember, judgment comes at the end. It rains on the just and the unjust alike, friends. Judgment comes at the end. Number five, it's up to God to do the judging. It's up to God to do the judging. Now, we're not talking about civil court. We're talking about kingdom matters. For God's kingdom, it's God's choice who gets into heaven. And we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to look around and you'll say, "Well, I never would have thought it." Huh? But you know, somebody else is going to look around and say about me, "I never would have thought it." Why, he wasn't ever baptized by immersion. Or he didn't know the 5 points of Calvinism or something. But see, it's not whether we know the 5 points of Calvinism, whether we're trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Friends, I see you and I see me as wheat. I think one version called it corn. Did I say that? I see you and me as good seed. But we must live among the tares. Now, what if you are wheat? What if the devil has planted you? The good news is, yes, there's good news. The good news is that God can take weeds and make them into wheat. God can transform. We can't, but He can. God can transform. He can take weeds and make wheat out of it. You can't. I can't, but God can. Our responsibility, our duty, first, don't let the enemy make weeds out of us, because he will if he can. Don't let the enemy make weeds out of us. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So keep on resisting that devil and keep on drawing near to God. And when we come near to God, the devil, that is resisting the devil. First, we can draw near to God, and then the devil's gone. We can't do it on our own even. So don't let the enemy, don't let the devil, don't let Satan make weeds out of us. And the second responsibility is to keep living before and witnessing to the weeds. Witnessing before and living before and witnessing to the weeds. Praying for them to be converted or transformed or saved. Saved from burning. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You that we're Your wheat. Protect us. Keep us close to You. And help us to be witnesses to weeds, to tares, that they may be converted. Become Your children. Because that's why You sent Jesus. Let us tell that story, that good news, in His name, the name of Jesus. Amen. 453 is the song. 453, Jesus gave His life for us, that we might, if we are weeds, become wheat in His kingdom. Members of His kingdom. Stand together, if you will, 453, and let us sing. Upon you and give you peace. In His name, you're dismissed.
Please join us in singing God Bless America.
God bless.